Better work presentations are possible. They're called Canva presentations. You can supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. Just start with a prompt, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds. Or start with a stunning template and add images, graphics, charts, and data visualizations from their massive media library. You save time and wow your audience. There's a reason why Canva is used by 90% of the Fortune 500 companies. So nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations by heading to canva.com. Designed for work. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank. Some things should be boring, like banking. Boring is safe and reliable. You don't want your bank to be surprising. Surprising is for podcasts about seemingly insignificant inventions that impact our lives, not banks. PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc., PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars.
Oh, there's a horse.
And this is friend of the show, Sean Cole.
I'm at West 39th and 11th in Manhattan. Oh, there's a horse.
A horse-drawn carriage, of course. There aren't just random horses wandering around Manhattan, though there probably were at some point.
But I am actually going to meet a woman to talk about cows.
It's hard to believe now.
Now, this area is really industrial. There's a bus depot.
But this part of Manhattan, the westernmost part, between, say, 34th and 39th streets, this was cow country.
So we're talking the late 19th, early 20th centuries. You had cattle being herded across 12th Avenue, which is now the West Side Highway. Nicola Twilley is the woman I wanted to talk to about cows. She writes a blog called Edible Geography.
There are pictures of 12th Avenue showing the cattle here, showing cowboys, which is crazy.
Get a long little doggy.
And cows were brought to this part of town to be made into beef. You've heard of the meat packing district? Well, this was like the meat hacking district.
It was nicknamed Abattoir Place, and it was a hive of bone boilers and hide stretchers and lard renderers. So this, if you can picture it, would have been a disassembly line for every single part of a cow.
The cows would be ferried across the Hudson River from New Jersey.
On a cowboat.
And land at the dock here. And at first, you know, marching a few cows across 12th Avenue to the slaughterhouse was fine. You can hold up traffic for that.
But then came more cows, and more cows.
And more folks in their carriages, and then the train came through, and cars.
All of a sudden, cows are in the way. I mean, cows move at a different pace, and so there were reports of epic cow jams on 12th Avenue.
What does a cow jam look like? That sounds horrible.
I know. I think it was just people felt like, you know, the pace of cows and cowboys and cow droving on 12th Avenue was no longer suited to modern life. So,
this is what we're here to talk about today.
I cannot wait.
Me neither. Here we go.
That's why people invented things like the cow tunnel.
The cow tunnel.
Cow tunnel.
Oh, it's the best.
Let's hear it again.
Cow tunnel.
Cattle tunnels.
Say it again!
Cow tunnels.
It's just, whenever you say it, it's funny.
I know. I mean, you have to love them. Cow tunnels.
Cow tunnels in Manhattan. Or as Nicola called them in a piece she wrote for Gizmodo, the lost cow tunnels of New York City. And when Nicola says that people invented things like the cow tunnel, for the purposes of this story, that really could mean one of two things. Either people invented the tunnels to march the cows underneath 12th Avenue to the abattoir, or people invented this crazy cock and bull story about the cow tunnels.
More bull than cock in this case.
Because everybody loves a good, vaguely plausible urban myth. And so, Nicola Twilley has been on a years-long quest to figure out whether the cow tunnels ever actually existed.
Because, after all, the idea of cows loping along under your feet in New York City, at least how we think of New York City now, is insane.
And this is a woman who writes a blog that's generally about food and place. And if anything exists at that same intersection, it is the cow tunnel.
Just a dedicated infrastructure for animals like that.
It's a new genre of architecture.
Exactly.
The cow tunnel.
When you think about all of the tubes and tunnels and weird things that are underneath the street, we have tunnels for cars, we have tunnels for subways, we have all these tubes filled with electrical cables and the internet and all this. I mean, why shouldn't the cows have their own subterranean infrastructure too?
Nicola first happened on the cow tunnel story by chance.
So I was reading a book called Raising Stakes by Betty Fussell.
It's Fussell, actually. Stakes, of course, is spelled S-T-E-A-K-S.
Yes, the kind that could be porterhouse, right.
Or T-bone.
Exactly.
Or sirloin.
Any of the above.
Rump. Strip loin. Rump. I like saying rump.
Exactly. Skirt.
And she's reading along, and there was this one little passage on page 22.
You could miss it quite easily if you were reading too fast. It's a sort of two-line thing. And she says, "Traffic was so heavy in the 1870s that a cow tunnel," in quotation marks, "was," and capitalized actually, "was built beneath 12th Avenue to serve as an underground passage, and it's rumored to be there still, awaiting designation as a landmark site." And then she just carries on, you know. "As late as 1880, Horowitz writes, blah, blah, blah."
That's literally one sentence.
Exactly. And I thought, that's weird. I wonder if they're still there. So I Googled it.
And what did you find?
I found Brian Whiprud, I think is how he pronounces his name.
Yeah, that's how I pronounce it.
Brian Whiprud is a utilities specialist for Weidlinger Associates in New York. It's a structural engineering firm.
What I do for Weidlinger is figure out how to get from point A to point B underground in New York City.
Like if Con Edison is cutting a trench for electrical cables, they need a navigator.
As well as investigate all kinds of anomalies and strange things that they find underground when doing digs.
So Brian went searching for the truth about cow tunnels more than 10 years before Nicola. In 1997, he published an article in a local newspaper called the Tribeca Trib, which is what Nicola found in her web search. The headline was "Bum Steer." I will summarize it here. Brian's talking to a Con Ed worker named Fred.
Just Fred, huh?
Just Fred.
No last name.
And Fred says he was watching a work crew install a new drainage basin downtown.
Which is, by the way, nowhere near the side of those old slaughterhouses.
They dig and dig, and then finally they hit this kind of wooden barrier. Wooden. They break through it, and it's hollow on the other side. And then a quote-unquote old man from the neighborhood steps up and says,
"Well, I see you found the cow tunnel."
So Brian walks this story around, asks a whole mess of people, and everybody's heard of the cow tunnel, but when they talk about it, the facts are never the same.
But A, it's somewhere different, and B, it's made of different items, and C, it was built at a different time.
And when Brian finally circles back to Fred, Fred says, "Well, actually, I never saw it. It was a buddy of mine who saw it."
So again, that's how Brian told the story in his article in 1997.
Sitting in his office with me in 2014, he told it this way.
"We were digging some test pits for Verizon."
Wait, but so you were there and digging and...
Right, and so we've dug down about 5 feet, and there's this brick curved surface that looks like a vaulted roof.
So now the story has completely changed in Brian's mind. Suddenly, he's the one watching the work crew, not Fred. And in this telling, the blockage they hit while digging is brick, not wood. And he talked this way for another 10 minutes before he finally stopped and said, "Wait a second.
You know what? And you sort of caught me in the beginning of this because I was like, gee, I could have sworn I saw it." And then you're just like, "You know what? I'm thinking back of the article. I didn't." And so I'm doing the same damn thing Fred did, aren't I? Yeah. "Want me to tell you how big it is and where it goes? I see cattle tunnels every day, man. There's one over there. I know. I started doing the same damn thing."
This is what happens with the cow tunnels and why the truth of them is so hard to get a hold of. It's like as soon as you start to retell the story, it gets loose and begins to bend. It's like an instant fishtail, except it's about cows. And somehow the folklore of it just stretches further and further out until nobody can remember how the story started. And so when Nicola Twilley wrote her first blog post about the cow tunnels in 2010, she went solely off of Brian's article, which uncovered nothing, and that one line in the Betty Fussell book. But around the same time she hit publish, a little shred of hard-ish evidence popped up. The Cow Tunnel version of The Shroud of Turin. It's a coffee table book called New York in the 19th Century.
You have it here.
Yes, and there's a picture in here that shows...
This is an 1877 engraving from Harper's Weekly of a cow tunnel at 34th Street.
Cattle being driven up through a tunnel, looks like a wooden tunnel, and it says, tunnel from the dock.
Huh. Emerging from, it's almost
emerging
like...
Emerging from the tunnel, and there's a cattleman there with a little whip keeping them moving.
And then they're strung up by one foot and summarily executed.
Yeah, exactly. And the rest of the pictures get kind of gruesome.
Yeah.
But
wow, so that seems to be evidentiary.
Right, there's a picture of a cow tunnel. And it's like, okay.
Well, I don't know about that, though.
This is Nicola Twilley again.
I mean, you can't actually see where the tunnel is.
But there's a cow emerging from a tunnel.
It's an engraving, not a photograph.
But there's a cow emerging from a tunnel.
Well, and the cowboy in the picture is about 2 foot tall, so there's all kinds of problems with it. The cow is about 10 times his size, so I don't know. I wasn't buying it. Mm-hmm. I needed more.
So she did what she says bloggers like her never do when they're researching a topic. She called people.
I talked to the city's director of archaeology, and she sort of let out this sigh as if she'd been asked this question before.
Oh, really?
Well, after I wrote about them the first time, it sort of bubbled up on a few blogs, and I suppose those people were actually doing their job and called her. And she had said what to them, probably what she said to me, which was no evidence, never found anything.
And the woman was like, well, why don't you talk to the head of the Greenwich Village Society for Historic Preservation? They got the meatpacking district preserved.
So I talked to him, Andrew Berman, very nice, very apologetic, sorry. No evidence of cow tunnels.
Jeez.
I know.
So I am about to really fully write these things off as a myth when I decide to call C.C. Saunders.
Of Historical Perspectives Incorporated, which basically consults with big projects, construction projects, and that sort of thing. And they gauge whether there's historical, archaeological, important stuff in the area.
That's important stuff.
Yeah, that's my dumbed-down layman's take on it.
She calls me back from a ferry on the way back from Staten Island. She'd just been doing a dig. Oh, of course they exist. Yeah, no question. Like, don't be ridiculous. I'll send you the blueprints as soon as I get home.
After all this, there are blueprints?
Yeah.
I don't have an original at this point, but I have the copy that we put into our report that we did when we studied the reconstruction of Route 9A, otherwise known as the West Side Highway.
This is not C.C. Saunders.
Correct. I am Feline Schneiderman. I have never been C.C. Saunders, but I've worked with her for about 26 years.
And Cece said Feline was basically the cow tunnelian at their shop. So back in 1991, the state contracted Historical Perspectives to do an historical study of that former meatpacking area at 12th Avenue in the upper 30s. This is when the state was looking to redo Route 9A. And Feline wrote the report. So she did a ton of research, looked at all these old maps and documents, and built up this picture of the kinds of structures that used to be along 12th Avenue there.
Tenements, warehouses, cattle tunnels.
Stop right there.
On the very, very last page of Feline's report about that meatpacking area, page 28.
Could you just read what it says here?
Sure. Well, an underground cattle pass was built and used by the Pennsylvania Railroad Company. It extended about 200 feet beneath 12th Avenue in the shoreline to the block between West 38th and West 39th Street. Pardon my bad grammar, back in 1991. It was not meant to say that it was 200 feet beneath 12th Avenue. It was 200 feet long and beneath the avenue. Misplaced modifier. The tunnel was built in 1932 and may still be present.
Wait a minute. 1932?
I know.
That's late.
Yeah, and, you know, that was during when all of this construction is going on in the city, or being planned at least. New bridges and tunnels, cars are more and more a factor, and you've still got cows needing to get, again, like 200 feet from the dock to the slaughterhouse so that New York could, at the end of a long day of building, have steak for dinner.
So how big was it?
The tunnel? 9 feet wide by 7 feet high.
And that was ascertained from a New York Department of Docks permit number Manhattan .673-A.
Wow.
Yes, so.
That seems pretty ironclad.
Well, yeah, I would say it wasn't ironclad, concrete clad, but yes.
To actually see a blueprint.
Again, Nicola Twilley.
It was sort of a, you know, a lottery winning moment. I felt pretty good.
Like finding the designs for the lost city of Atlantis.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I was pretty stoked.
And so what did you think then?
Well, really, I thought I have to go out there and dig.
So we're roughly here.
After looking over the blueprints, Nicola paused for a minute to write up a new blog post and then went out to the area where the tunnel had been to see if there might be any sign of it, any hope that it might still exist.
Some people swear it's intact.
That the tunnel's intact.
That the tunnel's intact. People have said that if we might be able to find an entrance in one of the piers, in one of the buildings, without having to excavate the roadway itself. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's the West Side Highway construction. When you think about the Javits Center, when you think about the Lincoln Tunnel that we're standing right next to.
Most likely, if Cow Tunnel there was once upon a time, it was pulverized in all of that construction, and any void was filled in.
But wait, so you have a blueprint of it. So how do you know it was actually built instead of just planned?
It's on other maps that were made of the area later.
Oh, I see.
And it's in the 1953 port series from the Army Corps of Engineers, which I don't really know what that means, but there it is. And and actually, in her research, Nicola found evidence for that other tunnel at 34th Street that was in the Harper's Weekly picture. There's this New York Times article from 1875 that talks about it. It says, "There runs a tunnel under 12th Avenue where the animals are brought into the shambles. In fact, the cattle are never seen by the outside public from the time of their landing until they are converted into beef."
And that's what's so interesting. It's such a pivotal moment. We are beginning to become completely detached from where our food comes from. Cities are becoming things that somehow get fed mysteriously and invisibly at this precise moment. And apparently there's also one other cow tunnel of historic importance in Boston that also no one knows whether it exists or not.
Au contraire, Nicola Twilley. Au contraire.
So wait, the train right now is going through what used to be a cow tunnel?
No. Oh.
We do know whether the cow tunnel in Boston exists. And it does, except it's in Cambridge, Mass. I stood on a bridge up above it with Charlie Sullivan.
The way this neighborhood developed, the cattle market was established over on Massachusetts Avenue quite early, before the railroad came through, and farmers would drive their cows here over the roads.
Charlie's the head of the Cambridge market, Historical Commission. He says there used to be cow pens on either side of this bridge, the Walden Street Bridge, and a cow tunnel called the Walden Street Cattle Pass was built so farmers could drive the cows from one pen to another.
They didn't want to let them loose on Walden Street, so...
Because
they would get loose.
Like loose. They might
walk into Harvard
Square and cows, go have a cappuccino.
Cows have minds of their own.
Anyway, this cow tunnel is now on the National Register of Historic Places.
But other than a plaque that mentions it, you'd never know it was tucked underneath the railroad bridge, off limits to the public, next to an active rail line, which is fenced off so that people don't get hit by trains.
So, in short, the commission preserved a structure that no one can see nor has any access to.
Correct.
The only way is to try to hop that fence.
Do you want to do that? Be fun.
It would be fun.
Interesting way to spend a morning.
I'm not sure that I'm able to do it.
Okay, that's okay.
So, but feel free.
Please tell me that you hop the fence without him. Please tell me that you hop the fence without him.
This is not going to sound too wonderful.
So, when Charlie was well out of sight and couldn't be accused of aiding and abetting...
Yes!
And I am in. like Flynn, sort of. And I climb down this steep embankment through all these thickets. Oh my god, here it is. I can see it. The cow tunnel. Oh lord, this is exciting. It was basically a brick dome. Original brick. From 1857. Oh man, it's covered in graffiti. And gated with a big black gate. Moo! No echo. Cow tunnel.
99% Invisible was produced this week by Sean Cole, with Sam Greenspan, Katie Mingle, Avery Truffleman, and me, Roman Mars. We are a project of 91.7 local public radio KALW in San Francisco and produced in beautiful downtown Oakland, California, out of the offices of ArcSign, an architecture firm who, if the need arises, will design you the most beautiful cow tunnel you've ever seen.
Cow tunnel.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, a business tripper, or a long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels features locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. That's what I like. I like to be within walking distance of all the stuff. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. With so many hotel brands, Choice Hotels allows you to prioritize what you need. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. Arkel believes in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too. Everyone who's listened to this show for years knows how in the bag I am for Arkel furniture. I love it. I have a ton of it in my home. But our sound engineer, Martin Gonzalez, just redid his whole living room with Arkel. He sent me a picture, and it was almost comical how much Arkel furniture he stuffed into his Brooklyn apartment. So I'm going to let him tell you what he thinks.
I'm sitting here enjoying my brand new Arkel living room set. I replaced my junky, free and Craigslisted furniture with a very nice set from the Senni collection. I got a sofa, love seat, and chair, all in matching volcanic gray. Were delivered right to my door. All I did was pop open the boxes and screw some legs on. I am so much more excited to have people over now that I'm not embarrassed at my furniture. I did, in fact, use this offer code that Rowan is about to tell you.
Arkel is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit arkel.com/99, and the discount will automatically be applied at checkout. That's arkel.com/99 for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. 99% Invisible is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You don't want to miss Fluid Engine, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And with the new Asset Library, you're able to manage all your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. Get started with one of Squarespace's professional website templates with designs for every category and use case, then customize your look, update the content, add features to fit your unique needs. I made my website, RomanMars.com, so long ago, I built it with Squarespace tools. It was so simple. I followed a good template. I customized it a little bit, add some social media stuff, and people get in touch with me for that website. It's perfect for my needs. Head to Squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to Squarespace.com/invisible to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. So my wife and I wanted to take a couple of the kids to see Taylor Swift in concert. We signed in with pre-sale fan codes and logged in on separate devices, each going after a different venue. And then we got bounced out of different venues. And then she managed to get tickets in Minneapolis.
So when you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/99. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/99. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/99. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire.
If you like the stories on this program, you can get more and more and more of them on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. But there will be cow tunnels at 99pi.org.
Radiotopia.